In 1740, when God moved through New England, it was called the Great Awakening. Revival has often been referred to as an awakening. At Gethsemane, Jesus faced the crisis point of his earthly ministry, and his disciples slept right through it. Today, the church is in a crisis point, and we are sleeping right through it. It's a sad fact of history, friends, that when the church needs revival the most, she is the least interested in the subject. When the church has grown accustomed to operating on money and manpower rather than by prayer and Holy Ghost power, she is living proof. She is blind to her own sad condition, and like the Laodicean church, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The church in need of revival is seen as the time period of the disciples between Christ's arrest, crucifixion, and resurrection appearances, where they spent their time huddled in fear and non-productive, locked up behind closed doors, or going back to their former secular activity, as opposed to the same men who, after the day of Pentecost, are new men with a new power and a new purpose, focused on eternity and preaching with power, signs, and wonders, turning the world upside down everywhere they go and turning the devil on his head in the process. A church self-absorbed is like a turtle in the sand, slow and concerned only of improving its own nest, as opposed to a church that's on fire for God, that's like a comet streaming across the sky in mighty power and wonder and leaving a smoking mark on the earth when it's finally spent, which is the picture of the church in the book of Acts. The following messages on revival are meant to encourage the study of revival to realign the church back to a thrice holy God, giving her once again her true state of influence over society and a heaven-sent voice of authority. I was 13 years old when I attended a series of revival meetings conducted by a itinerant evangelist from Canada. During those meetings, God moved in my young heart, and I was brought to know Christ Jesus as my Savior. And it was also a time in my life where God birthed in me a love for the study of revival. I've devoted my life to the study and promotion of revival. I've traveled all over Great Britain and America, visiting scenes of historic revival. These lectures, friends, are written from 5 decades of experience of the study and prayer for revival, the writing and preaching on the subject of revival. The following lessons are arranged in a particular order to aid us in our study of revival and to stir our hearts to pray for revival. When one looks at history, it's often the study of revival that's a prelude to actually seeing revival. An instance of this is seen in 1741, where an obscure Scottish pastor by the name of William McCulloch began reading his congregation accounts of the revival occurring in the colonies under Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield. His congregation became burdened for revival in their little town of Cambuslang, and this pastor soon invited George Whitefield to come and to preach there, and the result was the remarkable Cambuslang revival, where thousands gathered on the preaching braes in the back of the church, and where Whitfield wrote in his journal that the scene looked like a battlefield with the wounded strewn about the ground, crying in agony, "What must I do to be saved?" But when a church enters into a cold state of dead formalism, there is evidence of spiritual decline and need for revival. When there is little burden preaching, there will also be little burden prayer. When a church is self-focused, there is little burden for the hell-bound and consequently little evangelism, either corporate or in personal witness. We need the refreshing breath of the Spirit of God upon us in a revelation of the holy presence of God. We need a God consciousness in our midst once again, if forever again, to feel the power of God in a meeting. This stirring revival study is not just for the busy pastor, but for anyone who is burdened to see revival in our day. Listen, friends, if our nation does not turn back to the God of the Bible through a God-sent revival, then we have no hope as a nation. It is my prayer that these revival lectures increase our knowledge of revival and stir us on to pray for revival in our day. In these last days in which we live, the spirit of Antichrist is already in the land. Our society spins out of control into moral chaos as the nations sit like dominoes on the very brink of destruction. Revival is our only hope. It is my prayer that these lectures will increase our burden to see revival in our day. Let me pray. Oh, great God, you are the God of revival. You've been pleased, Lord, to send us showers of effusions of your grace in former times as you've had mercy upon this land. Our nation has turned her back on thee. We've legislated you out of our country. Subsequently, we haven't seen a national awakening in over 160 years. Our land is barren spiritually. It's under your remedial judgments. And yet, we're like the Jews in the days of your prophet Amos, whom you sent one remediable judgment right after another upon them, and where you lamented, "Yet have ye not returned back to me, saith the Lord of hosts." O great God, have mercy upon us, I pray. Be pleased to look down, come down upon our spiritual bankruptcy and our great need of your presence in our churches at this hour. Come, great King, and reestablish the preeminence of Christ in our sanctuaries and the prominence of Christ in our lives. Come save this godless generation of young people today who are blinded and enslaved by the devil himself. Send revival our way, I pray. I pray these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.